Welcome back to In Retrospect. This is episode 5, The Girl from Matador, an interview with Marcy Middlebrooks. Marcy is affectionately known as Gran in our family. This 86-year-old was born and raised in small-town Texas, but now she lives in a predominantly Amish community in Indiana. Though she's traveled the world, this true blue Texan girl has a simple philosophy for life. So join me as we look at her rich life lessons in retrospect.
That's the country in me, I guess. Oh, this is getting off the track. The first words he ever said to me were, "Are you going to cook or open some cans?" I said, "This is not what you wanted me to say. I just get started talking." And you never ask me to go any place that you don't mean it, because I'll go. And that's the way it was.
Welcome back to In Retrospect. This is Kendall Thurman. Today we have the one and only Gran in the Yorkshire studios. Welcome, Gran.
Thank you for having me.
You're just so excited to be here, aren't you?
Yes, I'm very nervous.
Gran was born not with the name Gran, but Marcy Gilbert, 1932. She was born in Roaring Springs, Texas. Her parents are Clyde and Elsie Gilbert. She had no siblings. She graduated in 1949 from Matador High School. She married Bateman Burt Middlebrooks in August 1950. She has worked as a homemaker and also a livestock auction...
Data processor.
You weren't the caller.
Not quite.
For about 30 years. She has 3 girls... Clyda, Gina, and Nona, 22 grandchildren, and 38 great-grandchildren, with number 39 and 40 on the way. So that's just a very short biography. And what I want to start with is, I asked you, what would be the title of your biography?
And I said, "Half Suitcase, Will Travel."
Tell me why you said that.
Well, because living in a small West Texas town, I never thought I would get to travel, and through my daughter and other things, I've gotten to go to a lot of places. And someone asked me why I was having my visa. What's it called?
Yeah, your passport.
Passport. I'm sorry. renewed. Someone asked me where I was going. I said, "I don't know. Just the first person that asked me, that's where I'm going."
So tell me about Matador, Texas, where you were born. I've been there. I don't remember it much. And
one of the fun things that I think about Matador, Texas, is there were 18 in my graduating class, and 12 of us started to school together.
Oh, my goodness. Started kindergarten?
No kindergarten back then, only first grade. And when you were in the first grade, I went to first grade, I didn't know one letter or one number. Back then, the teachers taught you what you had.
Right.
Very different to today.
You didn't know Greek before you showed up to school. That's interesting. Wow, you would have really gotten to know your classmates over all that time.
Oh, yeah. Dear friends. And now there's only 4 of we girls. There were 8 boys and 10 girls in my class. And we've stayed friends all these years.
Oh,
it's
my
sad
goodness.
That so many are gone. I'm very fortunate to be very healthy.
My goodness. So growing up in Matador, what was there to do? What did you spend your time doing?
Well, there wasn't... movies.
Okay.
The movie changed every 2 days, and I was there every other day to see what movie was on at 12 and 35 cents a movie. But those were hard to come by.
Uh-huh. 35-cent movies, you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
12-cent movies until you were 12 or something like that.
Right.
And then jumped clear to 35 cents.
My goodness. What were some movies you remember from that time?
Oh, Gone with the Wind and the Garden. It was the first colored movie.
Oh.
Where the girl went from, she opened the door to the garden and the garden was in Technicolor.
Oh.
So that was wonderful to us.
Not The Wizard of Oz.
No.
No, no, no.
But I saw The Wizard of Oz there too.
Mm. And so you grew up as an only child.
Yes.
What are your fondest memories of your parents? You must have been pretty close, the three of you.
You know, back then, people weren't as close to their kids mm-hmm. as they are now. They didn't. You were just a kid.
What did your dad do for work?
My dad worked for the county most of his life on a road grader. Okay. And until I was married and he ran for county commissioner. And he had decided not to run. And he died in October. Mm-hmm. And his term would have been out in January. So my mother was sworn in as county commissioner for the 3 months that he was there. First and only lady county commissioner in Matador, Texas. Motley County, Texas.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I've met Elsie. When did she pass away? How many years ago was this?
In 2009, at the age, she died 3 days after her 97th birthday.
And I feel like she was just forever just going and going and had...
She only was down 1 year, and she was a live wire. She was so cute. She was always up for everything. She was a real adventurer.
Hmm. Well, how did you meet Bateman?
Oh, he was the new boy in town, and all the girls, you know, there weren't too many boys, and with growing up with all these boys, I was just another friend. And
sure, right. Almost a sister.
Yeah.
So tell me about that a little more. He moved into your school? And
oh, no, he was an older man. He was 3 years older than me. I graduated when I was 16, almost 17,
mm-hmm.
and he worked at a service station. And I always tried to figure out something to walk to town so I could go by the service station to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And the most romantic thing, that the first words he ever said to me were, "Are you going to cook or open some cans?" Oh.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said, "This is not what you wanted me to say. I just get started talking."
This is exactly what I wanted.
I hope you don't ever air it, though.
So was this on a date that he said that?
Oh, no. It was in the middle of the day. I had gone to the grocery store for something and had a sack of groceries. That funny.
So he's wondering if you were eating out of a can or if you were
He didn't know it, but I didn't know how to cook anything, so it was a good thing he didn't know that.
So we all got married in 1950, so that was, how old were you?
18.
Uh-huh. And
he was 21.
Uh-huh. And what was he doing at the time?
He was selling butane truck.
Okay.
So he had got away from the service station.
And from where did he hail?
He hailed from Dickens County, which was a neighboring county from Motley County.
And, okay, so y'all got married, and then how much longer did you stay in Matador?
Well, we moved back to Roaring Springs for his job.
Uh-huh.
And then we moved to Rankin, Texas, to work on an oil rig as a roughneck.
Oh.
And that only means working on the floor of an oil rig.
Was it dangerous for him?
Well, he hurt his back, so we moved back to Matador, and he worked selling butane until he was drafted.
Oh, okay.
In 1951.
So y'all were married for how many years?
57.
Well, what do you want everyone to remember him for? I've got my own memories of him.
What are your memories?
My memories are how he would give, and I'm just a step-grandchild, you know? So I didn't know him growing up. But my teenage years on, I remember he's got a real sparkle in his eyes, like he's up to something.
He was really ornery.
But in a good way, kind of like a little tease.
Oh, yeah.
And he would name his grandchildren little nicknames.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, I wasn't little growing up, so I didn't have one. But he named my kids little things. Like yes. Sydney, he called her Quick Draw McGraw. How did that start?
I really don't know, but he started nicknaming our daughters. And so I guess that was just, that was a way of showing love.
Uh-huh. What else do you hope that people remember him for?
Oh, he was very loving. He loved his grandkids, and he was a teaser. He liked to tease.
Did you tease him back?
Well, he belonged to the Lions Club and was the tail twister, and so he had to figure out something to tease about so that everyone would have to pay a fine. And he was very clever with that. He was really clever. They never had another tail twister as good as him.
Let me back up just a little bit. Was it after you were married that you worked as a telephone operator?
No, that was before. I graduated from high school when I was 16, and I had to wait till I was 17, which was just a month. And so I went to work at this small telephone. The telephone office then was just one room, and it had two positions, and it was where you would lift the jack, and when the little light would come on, you would plug in the jack and say, "Number, please." And then you would take another jack, and then you would ring it manually. And so I only worked part-time there until I married. We dated 13 months.
Okay.
And then when we moved to Roaring Springs, people didn't commute back then.
Mm-hmm.
The 7 miles.
Right.
Isn't that funny? And then also back then, women didn't work. Mm-hmm. It was a man's job to make the living, mm-hmm. and the women stayed home mm-hmm. and raised the children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it was.
Did your husband grow up with, was it all brothers?
No, there were 4 boys and 4 girls in his family.
Okay.
And he was the baby. Okay. And
so how did he react to having 3 girls?
Oh, he loved them.
Yeah.
A man is never disappointed in having a daughter after he has one.
Right.
Because these girls know how to wrap their daddy around their little finger.
Any funny memories from raising your kids?
Oh, he used to tease them about, he'd say, "Oh, you have pupils in your eyes." And they'd say, "Oh, Daddy, I didn't." And he'd say, "I saw you hesitate on the doorstep." And they'd say, "No, Daddy, I didn't do that." Oh, so he was a teaser.
When we're all done with this, your grandkids and great-grandkids all over the world can you listen to it and just listen to your wonderful voice.
Now you're going to make me cry.
Well, when I asked you to do this, you said, "Oh, I have stories that'll make your toenails curl."
Oh, yeah.
So we got to get a lot of those stories.
Oh.
So here's one of the things. What we married into y'all's family in, what, 1993, I think.
Uh-huh.
Quick timeline correction. It was actually 1990. And so I inherited you as a step-grandma. I've never called you step-grandma, no, though.
You were one of us when you married in. You were one of us.
That's how I felt.
And that's the way we felt, too.
And one of the things that I loved, you're going to be embarrassed about this, but I love just listening to you.
Because I sounded funny?
No, you have so many Texanisms. How do you say that?
I don't know.
Your little Texas sayings.
Yes. That's the country in me, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know if that's easy for you to just rattle off some of those, but you always seem to have a little quip.
Oh, my friend said I should write a book because I have so many funny stories about just about everything when you've lived as long as I have. And I'm sure they get tired of hearing those, but we have a lot of funny things.
What would be something that would go in that book? Gosh, it's...
You know, right now I can't think of anything.
It's like when people ask me interesting stories from the ER, my mind just goes blank.
Yeah.
Unless something jogs my memory. Well, let me back up a little bit. You interrupt me if you think of something you want to talk about. But I'm just kind of going through. You said that a lot of your heroes were your uncles.
Yes.
Is that because they were soldiers?
Well, they were young and they were, a lot of them were in the service. My dad had two brothers that were in the Navy. And I loved it when they would come home because I was about five or something like that. And mm-hmm. I would get to stand in his shoes while he polished them, yeah. You know. And one time I wasn't very smart and I made the honor roll and he sent me a dollar from the ship. Oh, this is a funny story.
What's that?
Oh, my uncle was in the Navy and he was at sea. And my grandmother didn't hear from him for a long, long, long time. And she wrote the commander of the ship. And he wrote back and he said, Mama, if you never hear of me again, don't write the commander of the ship. But he did write more often.
That'll do it.
Yes, it will. And this is an awful thing to say, but my mother's parents were good Methodists, and they went to church a lot. And those younger boys were really ornery. And when they would come home from the service, they would come to our house to sober up before they went home.
Yeah. Was your husband, was he Methodist?
Yes, his mother was an old maid school teacher and his dad was an old bachelor farmer. Back then, 28 and 32 were old to be married.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they had, his dad grew up a Baptist.
Okay.
And his mother was a Methodist. So when they married, they decided, well, they would join the Presbyterian church because that was halfway, they thought.
It's not, uh-huh.
Well, then they wouldn't go. So finally they decided and they started having children right away. They had eight children in 12 years. Hmm. And she said, this is not working. You take the big children, the older children, and I'll take the babies. And it ended up that his dad and all four girls were Baptists and his mother and all four boys were Methodists.
Interesting.
And there was never any controversy. But right. If there was anything going on at the other church, they went.
Yeah. How interesting.
And there was no pressure for the kids to join either church.
Right. Right. It almost sounds like it was more of a logistics thing just to handle all the kids and let's just make this simpler.
And they didn't have a car. When they moved from East Texas to West Texas, all the kids were sick because it was so humid and wet in East Texas. So the doctor said, you need to get these children out of the humidity. And so they loaded up all their farm gear and their livestock on the train, and they took those seven children, and his mother was 8 months pregnant with him, in a Model T for the three-day drive from East Texas to West Texas.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine?
I can't.
And Bate was the only one born in West Texas.
West Texas.
A month after they got there.
Wow. Interesting.
Life was hard back then. And so they sold the car. And so they went to church in a wagon. And so this was so different to my life.
Because you, simply because you had a car?
No, because they lived in a farm, and I lived a block from the courthouse.
Oh, okay.
And being an only child.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
My parents didn't go to church.
Uh-huh.
And so I went whenever there was something going on, but I wasn't raised in the church.
But you seem to be very active in your church now.
Now, yes. Yeah. When we moved from West Texas to Grapevine, Texas,
uh-huh.
near Dallas, we started going to church, and that was how our life in the church really started.
Okay.
And since then, it's been kind of the center of our life.
Yeah.
Because we moved 12 times in 7 years. We moved 7 times in 12 years.
Oh, wow.
And when you move to a new town, you look for your friends in the church.
Yes. Yeah. It's an immediate connection.
It's where you're accepted and where people that you want to be committed to.
Yes.
And find your friends there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of been the center of our life.
Mm. Well, with that, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to do the game show. Is that okay? You have to forgive me.
You know what time it is. It's 2 Minutes of Glory, where our guest gets to show their knowledge of the subjects they love best. Let's do this.
Okay, this game show is called, I gotta catch my breath, 2 Minutes of Glory. And what it is if you get 10 questions right in 2 minutes, you win a mug that's got this logo on it. In retrospect.
Okay.
Let me catch my breath. I just ran up the stairs. I'm going to start this timer, and then I'll ask you questions. If you want to say pass, you just tell me pass.
Pass, 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 pass. That's 2 minutes.
And your quiz is about Texas trivia.
Oh, I don't know.
I know you haven't lived there for a while, but still, it's in your blood. I think you'll do all right. You ready? I'm going to start my timer right now. What is the Texas nickname of the state?
Lone Star.
Correct. The state flower?
Bluebonnet.
Correct. What's the state small animal?
Pass.
Okay. State tree?
Mesquite. No.
That's not it. Not correct. It's close. It's something you eat.
Pecan.
Pecan, there it is. This ranch in Texas is bigger than the state of Rhode Island.
It used to be the Matador, Texas, but now it's the King Ranch.
Correct. This was an American musician and singer-songwriter who was in the 1950s, born in Lubbock.
I don't pass.
No. Okay. This city in Texas is known as the Yellow Rose of Texas. Because of its
Austin.
Name.
Austin?
No, incorrect. Because of its Spanish name.
Just pass. North.
This is the most populous city in Texas.
Probably Dallas or Houston.
Houston, correct. How many flags have flown over Texas?
6.
And can you name three of those flags?
French.
Correct.
Mexican.
Mexican, French.
And Texas.
Correct. That's true. Republic of Texas. Correct. Here's an interesting one. Texas boasts the nation's largest herd of blank. It's a wild animal.
Deer.
Correct. White-tailed deer. Correct. This is this soda was invented in Waco in 1885.
Dr. Pepper.
That's correct. This word was the first word spoken from the moon in 1969.
Pass.
Pass. Okay. That's time. 2 minutes. 2 minute timer. 2 minutes. Let's see how you did. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 correct. I recounted and she actually got 11.
Yay!
You win this. You win this mug.
I need a mug.
I'll be sending it to you.
Sorry.
That's all right. The first word spoken from the moon was Houston.
Was it?
Houston.
How the eagle has landed.
Correct. The singer was Buddy Holly.
You just say test to me and I go blank.
Well, how fun was that?
That was fun.
You're not being honest. let's see. We got a couple more things we should talk about, I think. A couple more things. You moved from Texas to, you said 7 moves in 12 years.
Okay.
But you've been for a long time. Do you need any more water?
No, I just need a call. sorry.
That's all right. You lived in Topeka, Indiana.
Yeah.
For how many years?
37.
Now, I loved when we first visited Topeka. I had never seen anyone who was Amish.
Yeah.
And there go the horse-drawn buggies throughout town.
Yeah.
And what took you there?
I always tell people I followed the paycheck. Wherever bait went to work, that's where I went.
Uh-huh.
But the strange thing is I had never heard of an Amish until we decided to move to Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Oh, right.
Where a great segment, and I guess pretty much that's where they settled when they came over here.
Right.
When I called home, I said, well, we're moving again. And they said, where are you moving? I said, Topeka, Indiana. And they said, oh, great, you're getting closer to Texas. I said, you didn't listen. I said, Indiana. And you know, I'm not positive, but I think that there's only 2 Topekas in the United States. And Topeka, Indiana is a very small town, and 70% of the people in our township are Amish. So 70% of the people drive buggies and don't have electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to work for the Topeka Livestock Auction where they sold their animals.
And it is just south, east of South Bend?
It's halfway between South Bend and Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What did you learn about the Amish people?
That they're just like us. They're really, most of them are very honest, but they're very hardworking and work really fast because back when we moved there, a lot of the Amish farmed, but they have grown so much that and most of them now work in factories because there's not enough land for them to make a living farming.
Okay.
and they work in factories. And a lot of them ride their bikes 7 or 8 miles to work all day, ride their bike home, and then do their little farming or their chores.
That's hard work.
It's a very hard work. The reason that we moved 7 times was he was such a good teacher and organizer. But when he would go to a plant that was in problems, having problems, he would go straighten out the plant and train somebody. And another plant would be in problems. So we moved every 2 years or every year and a half. And that was... didn't realize how hard it was on the girls.
Yeah, yeah, but it sounds like he was really needed.
He was excellent. He was a great teacher. He never had any sons, but the men that he has trained have really done well.
That's beautiful. When the I liked visiting in Topeka, Indiana, and going to Tiffany's, that restaurant. Do you have close friends you do things with there?
Oh, I meet my friends there every morning for breakfast, except Sunday. And of course, they're closed on Sunday. Nothing's open on Sunday in Topeka. Oh, now there is. There's one Mexican place.
Okay. Well, you've been around the world. They probably can't sum up all the places you've been. I asked you some of the highlights of your travels. One of them was China.
Yes. My granddaughter was teaching at a private school in China.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter was going to see her, and she asked me to go with her. And you never ask me to go anyplace that you don't mean it, because I'll go. And so everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
Like what?
Well, I had to go to Indianapolis to catch a plane to Detroit, to catch a plane to go to China. We had weather trouble. We got to Detroit. The gate was closed. There were 10 of us that were going to China, and they would not open the gate. So I had to call back to Topeka and get my son-in-law to come get me. And they didn't fly out every day. It was every other day.
Oh.
So one of my suitcases was packed with my good clothes in it. I had a carry-on with all my old clothes. And so I went home and spent the night, and Gary took me back to Detroit, and I flew to China. And Clyda and Kylie and 2 other friends met me. 1 bag didn't make it. Clyda and Ron spent the whole time we were there. 5 days I lived out of my carry-on with all my old clothes.
Well, what was so hard about that?
Thank goodness I had them. But Clyda and Ron were all over trying to find places, find that suitcase. And finally, I can't remember the town, but Clyda, they said, "We do not have that suitcase." And she said, "Just let me look." And there was my suitcase with a little yellow fuzzy ribbon on it that probably never would have gotten to me.
Right. You've been lots of places.
Yes.
Australia, South Africa.
Yeah.
South America.
Yes. That was an interesting trip.
Why was that?
We were on Margarita Island, which was just out of an island for South America.
Uh-huh.
And they had a day trip to a native village in South America, and flying down there, we flew by Angel Falls.
Oh.
The magnificent. Gosh, I didn't know.
It's saved now. So, and we got that right on the microphone. That sounded good.
What?
Your nose blowing.
I'm sorry.
Like I said, I can cut it out. Okay, let's hear this. The birth of your three children.
Oh, the birth of my three children. Well, the first one, my husband was in basic training, and I was 2 months pregnant when he was shipped to Korea. And back then, there was no internet. There was no phones like that. So she was born 7 months after he left.
Clyda.
And so he wrote to me, and that was the way we communicated, that he was going on R&R and that he would be able to call me and talk for 3 minutes.
Oh, that much, huh?
Yes, that much. And so we knew he was going to call, but we had no idea when. We were trying to decide what to name this baby.
Oh.
Because I would write, "What do you think about this name?" It took 2 weeks for the letter to get to him. He would write back 2 weeks to me, and I'd forgotten what I wrote to him. But but we had decided that it was interesting that his daddy's name was Clyde, and my daddy's name was Clyde.
Oh.
So we changed the E to an A and named her Clyda.
Beautiful.
And she was such a precious baby. So she was about a month or two old. I don't remember exactly how old she was. But the phone rang in the middle of the night. And so I was living with my mother, because back then they didn't hire people that were pregnant or that had babies.
Okay, right.
So I called mother. I said, "Bring me the baby." And so she grabbed Clyda out of the baby bed and brought her in while I was trying to talk to Bait. And I said, "Pinch her so he can hear her cry." And she said, "Oh, I can't do that, but I could." And so I pinched her. And so he heard her cry over there. And this was a modern miracle.
Right. 3 minutes of... And
14 months. He did call me before he shipped out, and I found an old letter that he had written me, and he told me it only cost 74 cents from San Francisco, so that was cool.
Oh, yeah.
And so then when he got back, when she was 7 months old.
Oh, she just took right to him?
She did. She loved him dearly. Then... our second baby, he was there at the hospital that we were in. I was the only one there. I was the only patient. And so he and mother were standing at the door, and he said to her, "I've seen a lot of people die, but I've never seen anything that bad." He thought it was the pain that I was going through. Back then, they only had a little bit of ether to deaden the pain at the very end. So that was an interesting thing, too. With Clyda, I was at the hospital an hour and 47 minutes. And with Gina, I was there an hour and 15 minutes. So we moved to Grapevine. And then we thought... I always wanted four children, but we could only afford two. So then we found out that we were having this baby. And so I told Clyda and Gina, one was eight, one was five, I think. I said, Bait was gone. I said, "Now this is our secret. You can't tell anybody, but we're going to have a baby." So I said, "Now, don't tell anybody." So the next morning, my close friend that knew that I was pregnant came up, and Gina went running out, the five-year-old, said, "Donna, guess what we're getting? Little Bitty after Christmas." And Clyda said, Gina, you can't keep your big mouth shut. Gina said, I didn't say anything about the baby. So we lived in Grapevine, and I was going to this new doctor. Well, I guess I dilate very fast. So I had false labor for a whole week. And we went over to the hospital. He said, well, he kept saying, well, I'll see you Friday. And I said, I'm not having this baby on Friday the 13th because the 12th is my dad's birthday.
Oh.
He'd say, Thursday's my day off. I'm not having this. Friday the 13th, I'll see you. So Thursday the 12th, I went over. And they checked me out, and they said, go home and get a good night's rest and come back tomorrow. So we went home, and we had taken the girls across the street to the neighbors. And she said, well, let me keep them overnight. Well, yeah. It's a good thing they did, because about 10:30, my water broke.
Mm.
We jumped in the car. I didn't jump very far.
Yeah.
In the front seat.
Yeah.
Finally, I couldn't sit up any longer, so I laid my head in his lap. And a mile from the hospital, this baby popped out.
Yeah.
I was going to have easy birth. I was going to have something that would, an epidural or something that
yeah,
would.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't even have an aspirin.
Oh.
So...
And what did Bate do?
He just kept driving, and he got to the hospital. He ran in, and one of the nurses said, I hear a baby crying. And so he had broken his toe. And so after he was sitting there, after they took me in to clean me, whatever
yeah,
they
right,
did.
Right, right, right.
The policeman came in, and he said, why didn't you call us? We'd have given you an escort, because it was about 15 or 16 miles.
Right.
And Bates said, man, I didn't have time to do anything.
Just jumped in the car.
So that's our three girls. And it was raining, and my mother called her Little Rain in the Face.
And how'd you come up with Nona?
Well... he had a sister named Nona Faye and a sister named Unell. And so we named her Nona Linnell.
Oh.
Two sisters that never married.
Oh, and how about Gina? Where did that name come from?
I don't know.
Somewhere. Well, last night you got to have a nice treat. You went to...
Oh, it was wonderful.
Because you wrote down here, you love Downton Abbey.
Oh, yes. That's one of my very favorites. And guess who was the guest speaker, performer? Hugh Bonneville from Downton Abbey.
And you were sitting pretty close.
Yes, we were. He was over just one aisle over. And then we were down on the floor close to him. Mm. So that was, and the music was delightful.
This was the...
Christmas concert for the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Oh, beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful.
Well, I can't wait to see it. Maybe you'll be on it. Maybe they filmed you a little.
I don't know.
Well, how should we round off this interview? I didn't get my toenails curled yet.
I don't know. It's been fun talking to you. I was really nervous. And there's a lot of things that I wish would like to tell you. But I've had a really wonderful, wonderful life. I've been blessed with good health. And, you know, I prayed. Being an only child, I always wanted a family. And I guess I prayed plenty hard, because I've got a wonderful, big, huge family, that each one's precious.
Hmm. You said the message you want to tell the world was be kind.
Be kind. Be accepting. Forgiving.
So basically, they just have to follow your example.
No. Oh, I've been very blessed.
Well, thank you, Gran, for taking your time to talk to us. I wish we could spend 3 or 4 more hours just diving in a little deeper, but you've got other things to do.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to tell your family while you've got the microphone? And...
What? I can't without crying. I love each one of you.
Thank you, Gran.
Steps are not steps. They're family, too.
That's how you've made us feel. Thank you. I love you, too. And thanks for spending your time with me and for humoring me. You kept telling me this isn't what we wanted.
It's probably not.
Well, thanks a lot. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
That was an interview with the wonderful Marcy Middlebrooks, affectionately known by all of us in the family as Gran. And thank you again, Gran, for taking your time. This will be a treasure for your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren for many years to come. If you want to see more episodes of In Retrospect, you can find us on Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher for Android. And you can also follow our blog, inretrospectpodcast.blogspot.com, or our Facebook or Instagram, searching In Retrospect Podcast. If this did anything positive for you, please share it. And until next time, this is Kendall Thurman. May light and peace ever grow in your life. May your socks be dry and unholy. And may all your cinnamon rolls be slightly overdone. Take care.